Good morning, everybody. Thank you, praise team. Good stuff. All right, let's see. This week and next week, we're doing a little mini-series on church leadership. Elders this week, deacons next week, and then after that, we have 2 weeks on biblical church membership, New Testament examples of that and how that works. So we're going into a short series on that. Following that, we have the Christmas series. We'll get the memory verse put up here in a second. There it is, magically, with the help of the Jesse back there. Let's read the memory verse together. This is a new memory verse. Sorry to interrupt. New memory verse, and we're going to be covering this for the next several weeks. Similar to what Jeff just read this morning. So let's read this together. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. Let's talk to God. Good morning, God. Thank you for the opportunity to come to you in prayer. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, awesome God, in song and praise. You love us, God, and you care for us more than we can ever understand. And help us to embrace that and seek to serve you well. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, today we're going to be talking about church leadership, history, hierarchy, humans, and how Elfrida Church does that. I knew it would show up. There we go. History, hierarchy, humans, and then how Elfrida Baptist Church does that in the field that Scripture gives us to play in. So as an intro, a little bit of intro for church leadership and church governance. I want to say this. Although church leadership is important, how it is done as a church is important, there are other things that is more important. So what we're talking about today is important, but there's other things that are more important. For example, a church should be Christ-centered. It should be pointed to Christ. It should be Bible-focused. The gospel should be clear. Saved by grace alone, in faith alone, through Christ alone. And I would rather have a church who's got these elements, Christ, Bible, gospel, correct, and have a poor leadership structure, if you will, than a church that has a great leadership structure and is compromised on the gospel, that's compromised on being Bible-focused and doesn't even know who Jesus Christ is. So that's kind of the priorities that we have here at this church, is that we want to be centered on Christ and reflect Christ. We want to be in God's word and studying it, and we want to make the gospel crystal clear. That's super important to us as a church here. So launching into that, it is important that we have a church structure, and we want to follow the model presented in Scripture in that. So church leadership history. We're going to go back into the Old Testament, and 6 months ago, a year ago, we were going through the storyline of Christ. We talked about God all the way through the Scripture. We talked about man and our problems all the way through Scripture, sin all the way through Scripture, redemption through Scripture, faith, and then seasons, the different seasons as seen in Scripture. Sometimes they're called dispensations. We picked the word seasons. So let's look at the seasons a little bit and how leadership happened through these different seasons. There is a time of innocence. This is when God led Adam and Eve directly in the garden. He walked with them. He talked with them. He was right there with them, and he led them directly. Didn't last long. Sin showed up, and they transitioned to the time of conscience. After Adam and Eve, until the flood. So that period of time, God guided people through their conscience. Then the time of human government. This is after the flood. Noah's flood. God gave Noah a series of promises and commands, and God established what we know as civil government. The next season, looking through the Bible chronologically, is that of promise. From Abraham to Moses, civil governments continued, each to their own people. So we had different people groups, and God was presenting promises to Abraham. Moving fast forward through the timeline, the season of law, and this is for the Hebrews, God set up a theocracy. That's a fancy word meaning God ruled people. Through the judges, through elders. Now we are living in the season of grace, also known as the church age. Today we'll be looking at the office we call elder in the church, but this office goes back to the Old Testament Hebrews. The roots of eldership come from the Old Testament, way back to the time of Moses, when in Numbers chapter 11, appointed 70 elders. The appointment of these 70 elders was more of an official acknowledgement of what these guys were doing, more than finding people and saying, here's what you got to do. Likewise, in Exodus 24, God called Moses and the 70 Hebrew elders to worship from a distance. So I'm just grabbing some snapshots of the Old Testament history really fast here. Numbers 11 continues, and this is Numbers 11:16 says this. The Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let us take their stand before you. So we can make a couple of observations here. There was already men who were respected as elders, and they had some level of authority over the people, and they were in and among the people. They weren't in a throne or a castle somewhere. So what is an Old Testament elder? What does it mean? It doesn't simply mean old man, gray beard sitting on the top of a mountain. Rather, it means not a young man. Someone of integrity, someone seasoned in life, someone who has a heart to serve others. Early in Israel's history, the elder was an informal position of leadership over the people. Over many centuries, it became more of a formal position. So in time, it grew from kind of the patriarch in the clan, and over time, it became a more formal position that maybe was appointed. However, God's design for the leadership of Israel did not always go according to God's plan, and this is important for us to pay attention to, because this particular failure repeats itself through all of human history. Back in the day, the elders of Israel, doesn't mean they always did the right thing, the elders of Israel were those who were responsible for leadership in Israel and saw how the heathen world set up their governance, and they wanted that. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 8. All the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, behold, you are old now, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint to us a king to judge over us like all the nations. Like all the other nations. Like those heathen people over there. We want one of them king things for us. Kind of, maybe we can get them a nice crown, fancy chair to sit on. That would be cool. That's what we want. When Samuel appeals to God, God says, they have not rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected me from being king over them. So Samuel explained how a king would tax these people into the ground. But the people said, no, we want a king. It continues in chapter 8. No, we want a king over us that we may be like all the other nations, and our king may judge us to go before us and fight our battles. Wow. So, three main points I want to take away from this quick Old Testament survey. One, throughout history of mankind, people have always had a hierarchy of leadership structure. Two, the idea of elders, this word, was well understood by the New Testament church, the newly formed New Testament church. They knew what an elder was in concept and principle. In our culture, it's a little ambiguous. Like, what is an elder? What does that mean? So I'm trying to unpack it a little bit for you guys, bring in some culture to the conversation. And then three, contrary to God's design, people desire a single person to look at as a teacher, as a leader, often expecting them to fight their battles. Do you hear that from the Old Testament? They want this leader to fight their battles for them, to solve their problems, to be their hero, to be their Messiah, instead of Christ. Have you ever heard the saying, I want to see the manager? I think they actually have a special haircut deviate. Anyway, there's people who want to see the boss. They want to find the pinnacle of the pyramid. You might see this in some churches that are led by a man instead of men, a person who leads all the decisions. The church becomes this man's empire, becomes his church instead of Christ's church. One of the things that this church, Alfreda Baptist Church values is that we should be led by a team, not just one man. Okay, so that's the Old Testament survey on leadership, end of the history lesson. We're going to go into church hierarchy. So how does this work kind of from the top down? But before I get into church hierarchy, let's define some terms. What are these words that we're talking about? Ooh, that is a small font. Sorry about that. Elder. I should bring pass out binoculars next time. An elder. What is elder when it's seen in the New Testament? Again, the New Testament's written in Greek. We go back there. The word elder in Greek is presbyteros. Presbyteros. Hang on to that. The next word is shepherd. Poimen. Poimen, shepherd, to take care of other sheep or people. So you'll see poimen taking care of sheep in the field, but you'll also see it as a word used, instructed in 1 Peter. We just covered that. Peter tells the elders to shepherd the people. It's translated 17 times. Poimen is translated 17 times as shepherd. Once, this word is translated as pastor. So 17 times, shepherd. One time, pastor. That's in Ephesians. Guess what people like to do? They like to grab this little one word over here that says pastor in English, even though it's the same in Greek. They're like, oh, that's what we want. We want to have us a pastor, one of them pastor things. We want to have a king that sits on the throne and makes the decisions and fights our battles and solves our problems. That's not what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. Okay, back on topic. Another word here is bishop, or sometimes translated overseer. I like to play chess, so I think of a little guy with a little slit in the... That's not what we're talking about. Overseer or bishop, episkopos. Episkopos, that's the Greek word for that, and sometimes it's translated overseer or bishop. So give or take. Another word is deacon, and the Greek is diakonos. Diakonos. It means a servant, like a waiter or attendant, someone who takes care of things for somebody else. Another word we want to know is apostle. The Greek is apostolos. Apostolos is a delegate, like a messenger, someone sent forth with orders, kind of like an ambassador. So we have elder, shepherd, overseer, deacon, and apostle. After reading through the passages on this topic, I'm convinced that two of these words are actually the same thing. That is elder and overseer. And I'd like to present an argument for that. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, it says this. Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. Then a couple of verses later it says, Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So he's calling the elders overseers. It's one and the same group, okay? Then in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, Paul tells Titus, I left you in Crete that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Then a couple of verses later, he says that, describes this. It says the overseer must be beyond reproach as God's steward. And he continues on with that. But the point here is the noun that they're using, elder and overseer, it's exchanged back and forth. I gave two examples. There's about 8 or 10 in the New Testament that use them interchangeably. So I believe that it's the same thing, overseer and elders. It'd be kind of like this. I could say the EBC elders, or I could say Jeff, Darren, and myself. Okay, we're talking about the same group of people. EBC elders, Jeff, Darren, and myself. Two handles, same group of men. Moving on, the church. As an organization, to be organized, there must be some sort of hierarchy. Where do we start? God. God is at the top of the structure. We can see this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, where it says, God put all things in subjection under Christ's feet, God did, and made Christ head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Christ is over the church, God is over Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, it says, Christ is the head of every man, and man is the head of woman, and God is the head of Christ. So it's not chronological, but you can see that God is the head of Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. So we have a, a hierarchy presented there. In Ephesians 5, 23, the second half of the verse, it says, Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. The church is subject to Christ. So we have the church, we are subject to Christ. Again, we want a church that is pointed to Christ, no matter how it slices out. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus tells Peter, on this rock I, that's Christ, will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So who's building the church? Is that our job? No, it's Christ's job. He has told us to go and make disciples and teach. That's what we do. But Christ will build the church. If there's one person sitting in front of me when I speak, or 500, that's not me. I don't want to say care, but it's not my responsibility, because it's God who, it's Christ who builds the church, okay? It's my responsibility to teach. So God is over Christ, and Christ is over the church. Next, we get to the human element, way down on the list. We have apostles. So we have God, Christ, and apostles. An apostle, like I said, is a delegate, a messenger, once sent forth with orders. So what is an apostle? We can find that out in Acts chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, where it says, Luke writes this, it is necessary that of the men who accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John, that's the beginning of Christ's ministry, until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must come, become a witness with us of his resurrection. So we had the 12 disciples. Judas betrayed Jesus and died. So there was 11, and they decided to replace him with somebody. But what were the qualifications to be one of these apostles? He had to see Christ's ministry all the way from the beginning. So that's what a definition of apostle is. So unless one of us here is at least 2,000 years old, you don't qualify to be an apostle. I'm not that old, so I'm not an apostle. As the church started taking root and growing and spreading, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, told Titus and Timothy to appoint elders in each church. Okay, so now we have a new thing, elders. In Acts chapter 6, we have another one. The disciples, also known as apostles back then, it says the 12, they were becoming quite busy with serving the food. So we had the 12 apostles busy with serving food, and they wisely said, Acts 6, it says, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. So they're helping people, setting tables, passing out food. It said, we should devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And Jeff, next week, so they invented, under the inspiration of God, they developed a position called deacons. And that's where that comes from. And Jeff, next week, will be talking about deacons in the New Testament church. Interesting enough, we had a deacons meeting this morning, and it just came up. So how does this structure work? What's the hierarchy? And that we weren't even looking at the cliff notes here. It was just like, hey, what's the structure of the church? So I thought I just, in a few minutes ago, put this into the outline to share this morning. The elders here, Jeff, Darren, and myself, we lead the church, Elfrida Baptist Church, but we can't. We just don't have the ability to do it all. There's a variety of ministries that report to us as church leaders. It's an amazing list. There's the Awana ministry. Jenna helps with that. There's children's church. Cindy helps with that. There's the adult Sunday school. Joshua teaches that. There's the praise team. Ruth is leading that. Nursery, Jenna. Children's church, Jackie helps with that. And we have a new team, the security team, that is in development. We can't do all that, but praise the Lord, there's so many people helping out on these different things, and each one of those is a team, not an individual, okay? One of the beautiful things I think about this church is that we work together, we fellowship together, we overlap together, we have rubs and we get over it together, and we love each other. Why? Because we love Jesus Christ and we want to point to him. Okay, that's church hierarchy. Let's talk about church leadership as it relates to humans. One of the observations we can make in Scripture is that elders are always spoken of in the plural, not just one. I believe this is God's design and is to be sought after in a healthy church. Having a plurality of leadership provides accountability. It greatly guards against sin and reduces the temptation to bask in pride. For example, when you have somebody counting money, there's always more than one person counting the money. Why? For accountability, so that one person doesn't like stick a 20 or whatever in their pocket. Everybody's looking at each other. Likewise, we hold each other accountable, Jeff, Darren, and myself, as leaders of the church to provide stability. Doesn't mean that it's a perfect system. We're not perfect people. We can and do make mistakes. But the EBC elders, we wish to serve this church with humility. We don't want to do it for any attention. We don't want to do it for any merit. We don't want to make a big name for ourselves. We don't want this to, and I said this 2 weeks ago, we don't want this to be Jeff's church or Ace's church or Darren's church. We don't want that. We want this to be known as a church that follows Christ. How can you help? We need your prayers. Please pray for us. Pray that we wield the scripture as God intends, that our lives point others to Christ, and that we endure, persevere. All of us are painfully busy. Pray for our wives that stand behind us in support. It was said at Monday Night Bible Guys that this church would collapse if it weren't for the women helping out. And that's so very true. And it's not just the elders' wives, but so many ladies. If you looked at the list we had up a minute ago, many of the departments are led by women, and that's great. Many, many people here serve hours a week, every week, helping out. And I just want to say thank you for that. So keep in mind that the EBC elders, we are human. We make mistakes. Sorry about that. We offend people sometimes, and we're sorry about that. Maybe we're inconsiderate or forget something important. We're sorry about that too. And please don't be surprised if you observe one of us doing something that is offensive to God called sin, and we're sorry about that. Because we are real men. But if you see one of us in sin, please take biblical steps seen in Matthew chapter 18 and have a conversation to us about it. We want to be approachable, like, hey, what about this the other day? I'm like, oh, thank you. We want to be approachable. What are the qualifications to be an elder? We look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 for these qualifications. And I put these together. There's a lot of overlap in these two lists, but some of them are unique. Nevertheless, we have one list here. An elder should be above reproach. An elder should be the husband of one wife. He should be sober-minded. He should be self-controlled. He should be respectable. He should be hospitable. He should be able to teach and hold firmly to God's word. He should not be a drunkard. He should not be violent, but he should be gentle. He should not be argumentative or quarrelsome or a lover of money. He should not be greedy. He should manage his household well. He should not be a recent convert, but seasoned in God's word and walking with God. He should be well thought of by outsiders. That's quite a list. Note that in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, if you look at the first verse in that chapter, it says, if any man aspires to the office of elder or overseer, it is a good work that he desires to do. So this list that I showed you, I think, should be considered the norm for each one of us in the church. Well, the men anyway. All of us should look at this list and see how we measure up to it, because that's what God wants us to be. That's an example. I've also heard it said that someone who desires to be a leader is prideful. And I take issue with that because of that verse. Someone who desires to be a leader and meets this list qualifies to be an elder. I heard someone explain it like this. Oh, I'm pretty good with finances. Oh, we need you on the team over here. That's great. I'm pretty good with fixing cars. Oh, we need you on the team over here. I'm pretty good with construction. Oh, we need you on the team over here. Well, I've got some experience leading people, and I like to lead people. Oh, you prideful sinner. I'm like, I don't think it's like that. I think we should look at the different parts of the team and say, thank you that we're all different, and welcome them into a position that fits them well. So, EBC humans, and that's everyone here today. I think you're all humans. Here's a verse for you. Hebrews 13, 17, and 18 says, obey the teachers, try again, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account, so that they may do this with joy, not groaning, for this would not be helpful to you. Pray for us. For we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. Yeah, Jeff, Darren, and myself, we count it a joy to serve you and to make this role a pleasure to serve you. We do like it. Meeting together on Monday nights, we just have a great time. Next, church leadership, how? How does EBC do it? In Scripture, there's guidelines, there's principles that we want to follow. But it's a big playing field, and there's different ways that it could be done. So we put up a constitution, the EBC Constitution. I put a copy in the back. The EBC Constitution seeks to follow scriptural mandates and, when applicable, examples. It has provisions for two officers, that's elders and deacons. Section A, elders. I'd like to read a little chunk of this constitution to you. The Constitution says, a plurality of godly qualified men, as outlined in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9, and 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3, qualified men will jointly share the responsibility of leading the church. The actual number of elders will vary according to the number of qualified men in the church, as well as the needs of the church. Each elder should be a member of the church and be appointed for service and are accountable to the members of the church. That's what our Constitution says. That's not Scripture. That's just how we choose to follow the scriptural mandates. Next question. How are EBC elders appointed? We go to another document that our church has stood up for this called the bylaws. Again, I put some copies in the back for you guys. Grab one of them if you're interested. You probably should, because we're going to be going through a bunch of things in these documents in the next week and the following 2 weeks. The bylaw says in Section E, when the elders determine that an additional elder is needed, they will prayerfully and thoughtfully seek the qualified man to be considered for office. This prospective elder must first be examined by the current elders, to ensure that he meets the qualifications of the office and is willing to serve that capacity. Once he's examined and found to qualify, the name of the candidate shall be announced to the congregation for 4 consecutive Sundays. Should a member raise a concern among the qualifications of a nominee during that time, the elders shall investigate that matter, and if sustained, the nominee shall be removed from further consideration. After a 4-week period, the candidate whose qualifications are sustained will be placed into office. So we have elders pray for and seek a qualified man for examination, and once examined, he becomes a candidate and announced for 4 Sundays here. Then the EBC members provide feedback or concern to the elders, like, yeah, I think he's a great guy, or what about this part of his life? And then we weigh that. And if there's no noteworthy objections after 4 weeks, he becomes an elder. What do the EBC elders do? Number one, we should be examples. 1 Peter 5, 3 says, be examples to the flock. Hebrews 13, 7 says, remember those who spoke the word of God to you, imitate their faith. Honestly, this is a hard one for me because I know me. I have to live with me, and I wouldn't want to prop myself up as a model. That said, by God's grace and mercy, if you see Christ in me, Ace Glidewell, then praise the Lord. Wow. And feel free to imitate that part of what you see in my life. Yes. But that's really awkward for me to say. I just want to reflect Christ. I want to be a conduit for each one of you to Christ. Next, we should be equippers. Ephesians 4:11 says, Paul said to the leaders, Ephesians 4:11, Paul said to the leaders are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You have heard me say that church is not a place to come for a spiritual meal. I don't like the idea of y'all coming to church on Sunday morning and feasting on God's word and then starving for the next 6.5 days. I don't think that's how it should be. I like to think of church here as a spiritual grocery store where I hand you passages, I give you God's word, and it piques your interest, and you're like, hey, I want to learn more about that. And you dive into God's word, and throughout the week, you're feeding yourself spiritually from the groceries, if you will, that you've taken away from Sunday morning. Please don't be the one who comes to church on Sunday morning like, there, I've checked that box for the week. In the next 6.5 days, you starve. No relationship with God until again Sunday morning. That's not healthy. You wouldn't do that with your body. That I wouldn't survive. Read God's word. Think about what it says. Apply it to your life. Repeat. Read God's word. Think about what it says. Apply it to your life. Now, if you have a question, my email is ace@alfredabaptist.org. You're reading God's word. You're like, hey, I got a question. There it is. It's in the bulletin. If, on the other hand, you have a difficult question, just replace the ace with Jeff. You knew that was coming. That's right. ace@alfredabaptist or darren@alfredabaptist or jeff@alfreda tags us, and I hope that you guys dive into God's word and you're like, hey, what does this mean? I don't understand it. Whatever. We might have some answers and we can help you guys out. That would be very rewarding for me and helpful, maybe to you guys. Next, not only equippers, we should also be teachers of God's word. 2 Timothy 2, verse 17, which is a favorite Awana verse, says this: be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling God's word. So 2 points on this. We as elders need to be in God's word. We need to be studying it for ourselves, and we need to be able to communicate scriptural principles. What's the saying? If you want to find a good, if you're looking for a good cook, find a fat one. If you ever find a skinny cook, maybe he's not a good cook, right? Well, I want to be full of God's word so that I can share it with you guys. And Darren and Jeff echo that. Next, we need to be shepherds of the flock that he's entrusted to us. 1 Peter 5, verse 2 says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. And not with greed, but with eagerness. We want to make sure that you have a healthy relationship with God. We pray for you. We do. We want God's best for you. And please be willing to accept a correction if we come to you with an issue. If we didn't care about you, we wouldn't share a problem. But we do care. So we will share when we see a blind spot in your life. Next, on the how of EBC church leadership. One of the questions I get from time to time are, what are the Bible guys? How does that work? I don't see that in scripture. Okay? The Bible guys, you hear it announced every week, is Monday night. And it's not the same as the elders. And this gets a little confusing. The Bible guys are the men who teach God's word from the pulpit here, or maybe Sunday school, whatever. We get together and review what was said here in church, and then we look at the outline that's coming up, and we build each other up. The iron sharpens iron thing. Right now, it's confusing because those who are on the team for teaching God's word, the Bible guys, are also the same as the elders, but it's not always been that way. Sometimes we have a guy who's qualified to teach and is knowledgeable of God's word join our team for a season. He might join us and be with us on Monday nights and present an outline and teach here on Sunday, but he is not an elder of the church overseeing the church and making decisions. Having this Bible guys group or team, if you will, affords us to have more guys teach God's word who are qualified but aren't ready to jump into church leadership yet. So that's where we give, we live in the fences of, we play in the field of what scripture says, and there's some opportunities to do it a little differently than maybe other churches, but we're still scripturally accurate. So that's how that works. So that's the church leadership. We've talked about the history of church leadership. We've talked about the hierarchy of church leadership and the humanity part of it, and then the how of what we do here at EBC. That was a lot of information. I actually chopped several pages off of this outline trying to get it down into like one day. So much more. There's people who've studied this for years and written books on it. If you have any questions, talk to us. Next week, we're going to be talking about New Testament deacons. And speaking of deacons, let's have them join me up front as we transition into a time of communion, please. Brothers and sisters, I ask you to pray for the elders of Elfrida Baptist Church. Pray that you would, pray that God would raise up more men willing to serve as elders. Men, I challenge you, review the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. They should be a minimum standard for each one of us. No pressure here. I'm not trying to ask people to do something that they don't feel God's doing them do. But if you feel like God is nudging you men to explore the idea of serving as an elder, bless you and come talk to one of us. Everyone, thank you and have a great afternoon. You're dismissed.